Father in heaven, again, we praise you for the opportunity to open the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us things that you want to impart to us. And Lord, we open our hearts not only to receive the Word of God, but to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're learning about. For your Word declares that you distribute these gifts severally as you will, to whomsoever you will. And you encourage us to pray for these gifts, to desire these gifts, even to covet these gifts earnestly. And so, Lord, we do that. And tonight, as we study the gift of the discerning of spirits, I pray that you will open our understanding to a deep revelation of what this gift really is and how it is a blessing to the body of Christ and how it's one of nine gifts that you use to manifest the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world and to encourage those that are saved, that there is healing, there is deliverance, there is salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just bless this time that we have to share together in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I always try to start off with this verse in teaching the gifts of the Holy Spirit because the Apostle Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. It is a very important topic and subject, and the Scripture is very clear that God does not want any of His children to be unaware of spiritual gifts. Not only do we need to be aware of them, that they are there, that they are functioning, but that God wants to use each and every one of you in these gifts. And God is the one that distributes these gifts. We can't just pick and choose and say, well, Lord, I want this one and I want that one. But we just covet all of them. We earnestly desire them. And these gifts, if we were to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we would see that the foundation and the basis for the operation of these gifts is love, the love of God. The Bible says God is love. It says faith worketh by love. And so these gifts will operate as we operate in love. In other words, the reason for these gifts is to be a blessing to others. It's not to draw attention to ourselves. It's not to say, look at me and the ministry I have. But it's servant gifts. It's gifts whereby we serve one another, and it's for the common good of the whole body of Christ. So we need to be aware of them. And we've gotten down now in the list of the gifts, which basically start in verse 8, and we're down in verse 10. And verse 10, the second part of that says, to another, the distinguishing of spirits. Now, that's the New American Standard Version. The King James Version simply calls it the discerning of spirits. Now, I must say that I believe this is probably one of the most misunderstood gifts out of the nine, and I want to clarify some things in this particular teaching so that you will know what you're talking about when you talk about discerning of spirits, or when you hear somebody else talk or teach about them, you can line up what they're saying with Scripture and know whether they are truly giving you biblical truth or not. This gift, like all nine of the spiritual gifts, is a supernatural gift of revelation. Remember I told you there are nine gifts. They're broken down into three categories. There are gifts of power that do something. There are gifts of utterance that say something. And there are gifts of revelation that reveal something. And this is a revelation gift because it reveals something. This gift allows the possessor supernatural revelation into the realm of the spirit world, both good and evil. When this gift is in operation in someone's life, it is as if God just takes the curtains of the spirit world and pulls them back and lets the possessor see, literally see into the realm of the spirit. The possessor can judge the origin of miraculous manifestations. How many of you know that in the last days, Jesus warned and the apostles warned that there would be false prophets, false teachers who would be able to do miracles? And so just because somebody can perform a miracle, it doesn't mean the source of that miracle is God. That's why this gift is very important, so that a person can know the origin of where that miracle came from. And so it's a supernatural look into the world of spirits. I have myself operated in this gift only a couple of times that I can really say that was this gift. But I know people who operate in it more frequently than I do, and most of them say to me that if they had their choice, it's not necessarily a gift that they would want to have. It's not one that they would say, yeah, I'll pick this one. And the reason is, they said, we have seen some really scary things. We're talking about the ability to see demons, the ability to see angels, the ability to see manifestations of the risen Christ, to see the similitude of God. It's God allowing us to see in the spirit realm. And so it's a very powerful gift. The possessor is enabled to see the similitude, and that word means the visible likeness of God the Father, or Jesus the Son, the risen Savior, the Holy Spirit in one form or another, cherubim, which are a type or a category or a class of angels, seraphim, archangels, the heavenly host, and even Satan himself and demons. I want to give you an Old Testament, an example of this gift in operation. I'll read it to you from Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, and this is Moses. It said, Moses was talking to the Lord. He said, I pray you, show me your glory. And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. This was a manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. God was answering Moses' prayer. Moses said, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. And he granted Moses the opportunity to see the similitude, the visible likeness of God, although God can take on any form He chooses to, but He was passing by and He said, I'm going to set you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over your face so you cannot see me, because no man can see me and live, can see my face and live. And God passed by, and when He passed by, after He'd passed by, He took His hand away from Moses' eyes, and Moses was able to see the backside or the back portion of God. This was a manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. Now, this supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit is unaided by the natural mind. I want you to know that all these gifts are supernatural, and they are called gifts of the Holy Spirit because they come out of the Holy Spirit or from the Holy Spirit. They're not something that we can manipulate or that we can manufacture. If we do, we're in trouble, because they would be counterfeit gifts. And if we had more time, and maybe in the future we'll do this, but there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and for every gift of the Holy Spirit, Satan has a counterfeit gift. And so that's why we need to know the real thing. Paul said, I don't want you to be unaware, uninformed. Don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to learn and be able to understand what's true and what's false. All visions, true visions that come from God, are manifestations of this gift. I want to just give you 3 quick ones from the New Testament. The first example is found in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, with Stephen. Remember who Stephen was? Stephen was basically the first martyr in the church, the first one who actually died for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he was preaching a powerful sermon to the Jews and condemning them for their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah and all that they had done. And they got so upset with him that Well, chapter 7, verse 54 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would later be the Apostle Paul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep." He died. But it was through the manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits that he actually looked up and he saw the throne of God. He saw the glory of God. The heavens were open and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I don't want to go into a lot of significance here, but you know, in some of the commentaries I read, some theologians place some emphasis on the fact that Jesus is said to be seated at the right hand of God, but he stood up when Stephen was martyred. He was standing at the right hand of God. Then we go on a little further over to Acts chapter 10, and we'll see an occasion in the life of the Apostle Peter in verse 9, where he is having a vision. It says, "On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour," this would be about noon, "to pray." It's lunchtime. "But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparation, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean.'" See, Peter was a good Jewish boy. He had obeyed the law. He had not broken the dietary laws. "Again, a voice came to him a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky." This was a vision that had a twofold meaning. God was sending somebody from the house of a Gentile named Cornelius to ask Peter to come back and to show the Gentiles the way of salvation. God was saying to Peter that what God has cleansed, we no longer call unholy. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all mankind if they will only believe. And so God was given this vision to Peter to tell him, not only can you now fellowship with Gentiles, you can also eat with them. Because the dietary laws now are not something that's going to make you righteous or unrighteous before God. Your righteousness comes by faith in the finished work of Jesus. So this was an open vision, and it was a manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. Now I'll take you over to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, and the Apostle John. When he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony of Jesus, because of his ministry. And I mentioned, I think last Sunday, the church history says they tried to boil him in oil and it wouldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him, so they put him on a deserted island. And while he was there, Jesus appeared to him and gave him a revelation to write down. And that's where we have the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John writes these words in chapter 1, verse 9. He said, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." It means because he'd been preaching the word of God and because he'd been testifying about Jesus, that's why he was there. He had been banished there by the Jews. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." This would be Sunday. He was worshiping on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath, but Jesus was resurrected, and Sunday became the day of worship or the Lord's Day for the church. Later on, Paul was given the revelation that our worship of the Lord is not restricted to any one day. It's not Saturday, it's not Sunday, it's every day. We worship Him in spirit and truth every day, all the time, everywhere. It's not restricted to a building or to any group of people, but all who believe in Jesus. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Can you imagine turning and seeing something like that? He's expressing it as best he can in his vocabulary. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He literally fainted in the presence of Jesus, just like we would too. You know what? We all probably would like to see Jesus. I know I would, and many times I've prayed. And then there's times I've thought, what if he does appear? Then what am I going to do? He'll probably scare me out of my wits. And he fell over like a dead man. And Jesus placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. So there are three manifestations there. Stephen and Peter and John all operated in the gift of the discerning of spirits. They literally saw in the spirit realm. They saw Jesus. Stephen saw Jesus at the Father's right hand. Peter saw a vision of this sheet being let down from heaven, and then he heard the voice of God speak to him. And then John literally heard a voice and turned to see the resurrected Christ in all of His glory. The word discern itself, if you look it up in the Greek New Testament, it literally means to see. I want you to understand that. There are sometimes this word is, and in the English language, it has more than one translation and one more than one definition. And some people, they use the word, I discern this or I discern that. But what they're talking about is, I have a feeling or a strong impression or a suspicion. But literally, the word discern means the ability to see. So the discerning of spirits is the ability to see spirits. That's the thing that I want to clarify and clear up about this gift. If you operate in the gift of the discerning of spirits, you will see spirits. You will see into the realm of the spirit. Seeing into the spirit realm, divine spirits, and evil spirits. Now, this gift is closely associated with the word of knowledge, in that the word of knowledge is the impartation of a fact. It is a word of God's omniscience. He knows everything. And it is a fact, something that is established in the past or present. Remember? The word of knowledge is revelation from the past and the present, whereas the word of wisdom is revelation concerning the future. And so oftentimes, this gift is closely associated with the word of knowledge, in that the word of knowledge is the impartation of a fact, while the discerning of spirits enables one to actually see what is not there in the natural. In other words, you can't see it with your natural eyes, but through this gift, God gives you spiritual vision. You're able to see into the realm of the Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 16, listen carefully, and you will have to judge what you think is operating here. Acts chapter 16, this is the Apostle Paul, verse 16. It says, "It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out at that very moment." Now, casting out a demon, casting out a spirit, usually involves the word of knowledge and the gift of faith, but it can also involve the discerning of spirits. Again, I want to clarify that these gifts are all supernatural, and they operate as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit wills, and not as we will. In this particular occasion, what do you think was operating here? What gift or gifts do you think were operating as Paul was preaching? And here was a servant girl that followed them around, and what she said was the truth. This is why I said we have to be able to know, because the enemy will have counterfeit miracles, and they will preach a false gospel. But what she was saying sounded right, and it was. She said, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." But you see, she did this for several days, but Paul became greatly annoyed. Now, she had a reputation of being a fortune teller. People knew her. They knew who she was. She had a reputation. Do you see that Paul did not need her testimony in that community? Understand what I'm saying? Paul was there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't need somebody with a reputation of being a fortune teller to follow him around and give validity to his ministry. He didn't need that. And finally, he became annoyed. At first, when he heard the message, it sounded good. But she continued several days, and something on the inside of him said, "This isn't right." Now, one or two gifts are operating here. It was either the word of knowledge, it was a fact. God was giving him a fact that that girl had a spirit of divination. And Paul turned and he spoke to the Spirit. Not to the girl, he spoke to the Spirit that was possessing this girl. He said, "I command you to come out of her," and the Spirit came out immediately. Now, Luke is the one that's writing this, and he was a traveling companion with Paul, and so he wrote this down. He said this girl had a spirit of divination. So Paul, either by word of knowledge, had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that this girl had an unclean spirit, a familiar spirit, or he turned on that particular day into the gift of the discerning of spirits. He literally saw the Spirit eye to eye, and he spoke directly to the Spirit, and he said, "Come out of her," and the Spirit came out immediately. So I just gave you this example to show you how closely related those gifts are. I believe that it could have been either of those gifts. It could have been the discerning of spirits. It could have been the word of knowledge. But the Scripture doesn't really tell us which gift is operating. It's up to us to try to figure it out. And I like this. It takes you to investigate. Anybody have a thought or a clue, just very quickly, what you think it might have been and why you think it might have been, one way or the other? Anyone, quickly? Discerning of spirits. Okay. Anybody else? In Luke's writing, he said she had a spirit of divination. Now, obviously, he could have gotten that information simply from the fact that she was divining. She was telling fortunes. And that's where it was coming from, a familiar spirit, a lying spirit. And so it could have come from the word of knowledge. It could have come from the discerning of spirits. Paul could have later on said, Luke, I saw that demon. I saw that spirit, and that's why I cast it out. And it may have been he let it go on for several days because he just wasn't sure, and he was using wisdom. If it was the discerning of spirits on the first day, he would have seen the spirit right away. Or if God had spoken to him right away on the first day, it could have been a word of knowledge. But yet, I know there are times when I get a word of knowledge that I kind of test it and I'm not sure, is this really God or not? And I'll sit on it and I'll wait a little bit. This was a very touchy thing because here was a woman with a reputation of being a spiritual person, and yet the message that she was giving was a true message. But Paul saying, you know, I don't need this woman to be my public relations person here. I don't need her following me around saying these are men of the Most High God. God will confirm my ministry. I don't need her to do it. So I would imagine, as this is just pure speculation on my part, but I would say Paul probably took a day or two to pray and ask God to show him, God, what's going on here? What spirit's operating here, Lord? What do you want me to do about this, Lord? And within a couple of days, either through the discerning of spirits, he saw that spirit or a word of knowledge came to him strong and he spoke. But the result was the same. The spirit came out and the girl was delivered. And so this gift can help to discern, literally see, if demon power is the origin of a particular manifestation, a miraculous manifestation. There are a lot of people who pervert the things of God or attempt to. When I was in Haiti, there were Catholic priests that also doubled, and they were witch doctors. So they were working, on one hand, they were saying they were working for God, but on the other hand, they were working for the devil. And if you've seen some of these programs, some of the, quote, healings that they supposedly do of putting their hands on people and pulling tumors out and stuff like that, you see it's usually a sleight of hand trick of some kind or something like that. Just remember, any miracle that takes place that's from God will always exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not draw attention to the person. It will always draw attention to Jesus. Jesus will be exalted and glorified as a result of it. Through the gift of the discerning of spirits, one can literally see into the realm of the spirit and know that if a particular sickness or a disease may be the result of a spirit. It could be a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness and disease. Not all sickness and disease is caused by demons, but some are. Sometimes a person who is afflicted with epilepsy, it could be a spirit. Not always, doesn't have to be. It can be a chemical imbalance. It can be a lot of things. We live in a fallen world, a sinful world, and a diseased world. But the great thing about it is the Scripture promises by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. But through these gifts of the Spirit, we have gifts of healings, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God reveals mysteries and shows us things, lets us see things, and it's all for the common good of the body of Christ and for the salvation of the lost. God wants people saved, He wants them healed, and He wants them delivered. And these gifts are just tools that He imparts to the body of Christ to use for that very purpose. And so if a person is sick, God wants them to be well. He can heal them through the gifts of healing, or they may need a deliverance. It may be a spirit of infirmity, a spirit that needs to be cast out of them. It might be a deaf spirit. It might be a dumb spirit. There were times when Jesus healed people, and He did it through casting out demons. He said, you foul, dumb spirit, come out. You deaf spirit, come out. You blind spirit, come out. And there's something here that would probably take a little more research, and it would be worth looking into, but I'm just about positive. We'll go on record as saying that in my recollection of studying the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus never laid hands on someone to deliver them from a demon. He laid hands on sick people, but when it came to deliverance, he didn't lay hands on demon-possessed people. He spoke to the spirit. Just like Paul didn't lay hands on that girl with the spirit of divination, he turned and he spoke to the spirit and told the spirit, come out. We don't need to have physical contact with the demon. There are times when we need these gifts to be in operation so we'll know exactly what we're dealing with. Understand? Again, I want to reiterate and emphasize here that Jesus healed people, but he cast out spirits by speaking to them. And I want to give you this example in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. It says, when the evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill. So, spirits came out by speaking to them, come out. And healing came through either the deliverance or through the laying on of hands and imparting healing virtue. Now, let me tell you what this gift is not. You might want to write these things down if you can't remember them. This is not the gift of discernment. It is the gift of the discerning of spirits. So many times I've heard people say, I have the gift of discernment. And there's no such gift. There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. Okay? Understand that. This gift is not spiritual thought reading. It's not the ability to discern other people's thoughts. By the operation of the gift of the discerning of spirits, we can know the source and the nature of any spiritual manifestation. When this gift is operating, the possessor of this gift will know exactly the source of any spiritual manifestation. Either that's God, or that's the devil, or it's the flesh. It's just a man trying to do something, trying to make something happen. Now, all believers, let me conclude with this. All believers, every one of us who are born again and have the Holy Spirit, we will have an inward witness about spiritual things. We should. I believe it's Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So everybody who is a Christian, and especially if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you will have an inward witness about things. And sometimes, because of our lack of knowledge, we use the wrong terms. We might say, you know, I discern this about that, or I discern this. And remember, anytime you use the word discern, remember that word literally in the Greek means to see. So let's use the proper terms and the proper terminology. This gift is not the gift of discernment, it is the gift of the discerning of spirits, meaning this is the gift of seeing spirits. So you might have a witness about something, but remember again that this is not the gift of discernment. It's not the gift of criticism. It's not the gift of suspicion, because there aren't any such gifts as that. When you have a witness in your spirit, the Holy Spirit could either be speaking to you or showing you or revealing things to you through the gift of a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Or it just may very well be just the Holy Spirit alone in you is warning you about something. He may be telling you to pray for somebody, to pray about a situation, or to be cautious about something. Maybe you're thinking about entering into a relationship with somebody. Maybe a partnership of some kind in business or a personal relationship with somebody. A dating situation. And all of a sudden in your spirit you're going, something doesn't feel right here. That is the witness of the Spirit. That's not discerning of spirits, that is the witness of the Spirit. So remember, the discerning of spirits is actually the ability to see into the spirit world. And through this gift, miracles will indeed take place. I can think of one particular time, I think I've shared this testimony before, that when I was in South Africa, God gave me a dream and literally showed me a church service the day before it happened. And I saw every detail of that service. And in this vision, this dream, it was a vision from God in the night in my hotel room about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the next day when I went to this church, I literally saw this vision played out verbatim, exactly the way I'd seen it the night before in the vision and the dream. I saw people saved, I saw people healed, I saw people filled with the Holy Spirit and delivered. And that's the only that one occasion that has that ever happened before. But God let me know that this was one of His gifts operating in me and through me. It excites me to know that these gifts are available to all of us, and that we need to earnestly desire and covet them and pray for them, and then God will distribute them to us and through us as He sees best. Amen? So I encourage you, those of you here and those listening, to regularly pray and ask God to cause His gifts to begin to flow and function in your lives for the good of the body of Christ and for the glory of God. Amen?